of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And he goes on with that list of the members of the body and how our hands and our eyes and our feet are not in competition with one another. The head operates all of them in unity. And Christ is the head of his body, and the people who are saved are the members of the body of Christ. And we're to be in unity to operate in the Spirit of God. Let us pray. Father, as we look into your word this morning, I ask for your help. I pray that you'll guide in what is said. And Lord, that the hearts of your people here today will be receptive. We know that you'll bless your word, and so we claim that as a promise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, remember, Paul's message to Corinth was filled with correction. We've been going through this book now for a month and a half or 2 months or so, a little longer than that. And he wrote correction under the inspiration of God, the Bible, the messages of God. He corrected them about division among them. These young churches that did not come up through the Jewish ancestry of the teachings of the Bible, they were converted from all kinds of pagan religions, and they had just been saved, and as they developed as a church, they did not have the completed Word of God like we have today, and so there was a need for a lot of growth and a lot of change. And Paul corrected them about division following personalities. He corrected them about the problems of sexual sins among the people. He corrected them about false worship and idolatry. He corrected them about how they observed the ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And he specifically dealt with the Lord's Supper in chapter 11. Now we look in chapter 12, the proper use of spiritual gifts. The goal of God with spiritual gifts in his people is for his people to be spiritual. God wants us to be spiritual people, walking with the Lord under yielding to the Holy Spirit so that he can lead us and guide us and direct us in what God would have us to do. Now, we saw last that everyone did not have the same gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. It started with chapter 12 and verse number 1. Not everyone has the same gifts, but everyone who's saved has the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live within the believer when we receive Christ as our Savior. Everyone doesn't have the same abilities, but everyone who's saved can have the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 lists that as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And that's the fruit the Holy Spirit produces through the lives of believers. And we don't all have the same abilities in the Spirit, but we all can have the fruit of the Spirit. Every believer can be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is an admonition from God. An imperative in the Greek language is a command. And in Ephesians 5, in verse 18, it says, "Be not with drunk wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And that is an imperative. That is a command. God wants all of us as Christians to be filled with the Spirit. Now, don't get confused with terminology. Look up words when you don't know what they mean. To be filled with the Spirit simply means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, he does not operate in great force. The Holy Spirit operates in a still, small voice. As we yield ourselves, he will guide us and direct us and speak to our inner man, our heart. Not an audible voice that we can hear. But inwardly, we can know there are things God would have us to do when we're yielded unto him. But if we're living life as we please and not paying attention to God and not reading His Word and not spending time in prayer, then we will not even know the Spirit's leading and guiding in our life, because with the average life we live today, we'll easily quench the Spirit or grieve the Spirit so He can't operate in power in our lives. Now, the results of being filled with the Spirit are evidenced by the walk of the believer. Turn over in your Bibles with me. Keep your mark here. We'll come right back. But in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." And then he says, "But these things," the sinful things of life, "are not to be named among us." But what is to be named among us? In verse 18, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, love your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents." All of that are evidences of being filled with the Spirit. The results of being filled with the Spirit is the walk of the believer, that he follows God. In verse 1, he said, "Be ye therefore followers of God." And that word "followers" is defined as meaning imitators, to become like Christ, to seek to be like Him in our walk with God, as dear children of God, avoiding these fleshly sins that are listed here in verse 3 through 7. But having the fruit of the Spirit, beginning with verse number 8, he said, "You were in darkness, but now you're in the light of the Lord, and walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." So the believer under God's control, yielded to the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God working in our life because we're close to God, we're going to experience joy and sing songs and have the peace of God in our hearts. And we're going to have thanksgiving coming out of our lips. We'll look up at the beautiful days, the cooler weather, and we'll say, "Thank the Lord. I enjoy this. The beauty of your creation, Father, is amazing." We walk out at night and it's clear and the stars light up the sky and the blackness like diamonds spread across a black cloth. And we look up at that and we say, "My God made those things. And I praise you, Father, because you've said in your word that the creation gives glory to God and the firmament shows his handiwork." God is a master craftsman. He made the universe and he made it for you and for me. And he put us in this place where there's oxygen and water and food and all these things for us to live and enjoy because God created them. We ought to love Him. We ought to be thankful. We ought to thank God for His mercy and His grace every day. The Spirit of God will lead us to be thankful. He'll lead us to submit to God and His plans for our family, the husband and the wife and the children. A death to self, over in verse 24 and 25. "As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." So that's that sacrificial attitude that it takes to demonstrate the love of God, a humble submission for others' good. We are members of his body. Verse 30 in chapter 5 says, "For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Another evidence of the filling of the Spirit is boldness to speak up for Christ. We live in a world where people hate Christians, hate the Bible, hate anybody who lives the Christian life. It's more difficult to speak up for Christ than it is to give testimony in a camp meeting where everybody there loves the Lord and is praising God. It takes the power of the Spirit of God to have the boldness to speak up for Christ and to be a bold witness for Him. But the Holy Spirit can encourage us in doing that. Now back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see in our message today, the first thing I want to point out to you, God is the source of spiritual gifts. God is the source of spiritual gifts. His purpose for them is to reveal the Spirit's work and power for the common good of His church. In chapter 12 and verse number 7, he says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." So God has a common goal for His church to do the work that He's called us to do. There's a great need for unity, but there is also diversity. Unity comes when we believe alike. Diversity comes as the Spirit of God leads different people in different ministries, like the human body all working together, the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears. In the same way, God works through the church by His Spirit that we might work together for His purpose and the common goals. It takes diversity to serve in various ministries. Everybody doesn't have the ability to work with ladies. It takes particular spiritual gifts. Everybody doesn't have the ability to work with children. I'm on a children's level. I could do well in the children's ministry, I'm sure. Work with men, work with teens, work with different ethnic groups. We have people sometimes who come from a different country and different language, and it takes somebody that has an ability to work with them and bring them along in the faith. There are those that are slow in mental awareness. We call mental retardation or some type of mental health problem. And it takes a real patience and tenderness from God in working with them. But there is much that they can be taught. And God uses people in these different areas, both in the church and in the community. Some people work with nursing home ministries and evangelism into neighborhoods where they try to reach people to come to church and things of that nature. Now, God's given us the local church as a symbol of His body, a place for the members to operate in the Spirit of God. Here we do evangelism and we make disciples. We teach His Word. And we're gathered here this morning in what we call a worship service, a time to sing praise unto God, a time to bring our offerings unto God for His blessings upon us, a time for prayers, and a time for exhortation from the Word of God. By the way, that reminds me, in Sunday school this morning, those of you in the auditorium class, you didn't have any problem hearing Gary this morning, did you? You could hear him okay, couldn't you? Some of you that were in here, you could hear him all right, right? Yeah, I could hear him too in my office. He was wound up this morning. He was preaching in Sunday school this morning. Y'all didn't catch it. It went right over your head. Jesus made it very clear He's building His church. The church is Christ. This is Bible Baptist Church, but it belongs to the Lord. He's the head of this church. I saw a church down in Atlanta, Georgia. They had a marquee out. It said, the name of the church was Free for All Baptist Church, Pastor Jesus Christ. I said, man, they're getting a message across right there in that sign. And it made me think, you know, Jesus is the pastor of the church. He's the head of the church. I am an under-shepherd. And any of our men that have been called of God and trained theologically and who speak in the church here, we are not the heads of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. He's building His church. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said upon this rock that Peter had spoken about who Jesus was, the Christ. And Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now we know there are local churches like this one that even though we're dedicated to the Lord and seek to serve God and seek to be as right with Scripture, gun barrel straight as we can be theologically, churches like this still fail sometimes. They go out of existence. They have troubles and problems. You see, when Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," Jesus is talking about the church that he is building. Christians don't have to fear. We will not fail. Christ will deliver us from this present evil world and take us to heaven to be with him forevermore. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 11 says the foundation that the church is built upon is Christ. He's the solid rock foundation that we build upon. Now in 1 Corinthians 12, the church is called the body of Christ. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18, Colossians 1 verse 18 says, "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Now believers get saved and they follow the Lord in believers' baptism and they become a part of the local assembly, the local church. We baptize in water, but Christ baptizes with the Spirit. Now, just as all who are genuinely saved have received the Spirit of God, that makes them a part of the body of Christ. To become a part of the local assembly, we come through water baptism upon our profession of faith that we have received Christ as our Savior. Secondly, in 1 Corinthians 12, and verse 12 and 13, the Holy Spirit is fulfilling the desire that Christ has for his church. The work of the Holy Spirit regenerating believers, filling the believers, cleansing them of their sins, sanctifying them by setting them apart differently. We have been marked by God as people who've been saved by the grace of God. We've been marked for heaven. But the unsaved believers were already under the condemnation of the mark of fire and judgment that is to come. But thanks be to God, until Jesus finishes his work, there's still a hope, there's still a possibility. Our loved ones who aren't saved, we pray for them because the hour, it's not too late today for people to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now the work of the Holy Spirit in regenerating believers is filling the believers and cleansing the believers and making them equipped as a part of the body of Christ to be used for God's honor and glory. Water baptism is a symbol of what the Spirit's work has done. To be baptized in water, there is a public identification with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The water does not wash our sins away. It is a symbol of the washing away of what's already happened when we receive Christ as our Savior. The Spirit of God has done that work in us, just like we, as his obedient servants, baptized people in the water back here behind me, behind this curtain. One through water baptism of the church becomes a member. We've already been saved, received the Spirit of God, and made a part of the body of Christ. When one is saved, he receives the Spirit, and being made a part of the body of Christ, then he is to make a public identification of that, and water baptism is that public identification. Then there's a place of service for the believer. As the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us in ministries that he would have us to serve in. He uses the human body to illustrate this and how that the body is working together. And the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us and directing us. Our body is one, but it has many members. The head controls these things, and Christ is the head of the body. There's no competition between our members. Thank God there's not, because one of my eyes doesn't need to look over here while the other one's looking over there, you know. They need to be focused on the same thing and working together. And my hearing, thank God, still works. I'm 68 years old. and I still have pretty decent hearing. I have a test every year for a Class C CDL license to drive the bus, and they walk up behind you and stay about 6 or 8 feet behind you, and they'll say, 1, 2, 3. And you got to say, 1, 2, 3, I heard you. And then they can say, 3, 4, 5, on the other side. And you got to hear that and repeat it. I have a friend who owns a big heavy equipment company, and he has hearing aids in both ears, and he can control the volume of his hearing aids with his telephone. So when he gets ready to have the hearing test, he takes his phone out and turns the volume all the way up. And he's still passing the test, you know. Though if he turns them down, he probably couldn't hear you if you're talking like I am right now, right in front of him. But our ears work together with the eyes and the hands and the feet, and all these things are in coordination. We've all seen somebody who's had the dread problem of a birth defect called cerebral palsy. And they often have spastic muscle motion. They can't walk in harmony, and they can't function in harmony. Their body moves around and that sort of thing. And sometimes these people who have the brain disorder as they get older now, like Michael Fox, the actor, if he doesn't take heavy medication, you know, he'll move all the time. He has no control over it. It's an automatic thing that happens to him without this medication to control it. Well, the Spirit of God works through believers so that our together operation is in harmony with what God would have us to do. Not things that we create on our own and desire to do that are different from what God would have us to do. The Bible says in the Gospels that John the Baptist baptized with water. But he said, Jesus is coming after me, and he will baptize with the Spirit and with fire. Now, all baptized in our text here says all are baptized. It removes any error to believe that there's some teaching that has gone around the country that the baptism of the Spirit is something different than what happens when you get saved. But the Scriptures makes it clear that everybody who's saved have all been baptized into one body, which is Christ's body, whether you're Jews or Gentiles or bond or free or whatever it may be. That's by the grace of God. And it's not something you have to seek and pray through to get and all of that sort of thing. It doesn't have any wild conditions. It's all in the hand of God to work through the believer that the Spirit of God makes him a part of the family of God. Now, if you want to make a note to look this up later, in Luke chapter 3, in verse 16 and 17, Luke 3 in verse 16 and 17, John the Baptist spoke that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In verse 17, it says he will separate his seed from the chaff and burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. He's talking about those who are saved are like the good grain of the wheat, and the wheat has a little husk on it that they would fan away into a pile, and then that's not worth anything, they would burn it. And the Bible says Christ will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. So baptism by the water and by fire is referring to the fact the Holy Spirit baptizes us from Christ, the Spirit baptizes like John baptized in water. And he baptizes with fire in that all the unsaved are going to be either in hell today and will all eventually be in the lake of fire. And that is the judgment of God upon the unprofitable, those that are not saved, those who he does not know. You say, you mean God doesn't know them? That's exactly what he says in his word, that men will say to him because they're religious, did we not do these works in thy name? And he will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. If you're saved today, you know Jesus, and Jesus knows you. And his seal of approval is upon you because his Spirit dwells within you. You're not going to get lost. You're not going to get left behind. When Christ comes, he knows those that are his, and all who are his are going to heaven to be with him forevermore. Thirdly and finally this morning, believers are separated by the Holy Spirit unto Christ in sanctification. We are separated wholly unto God, and unbelievers will be separated from us in the lake of fire. Water baptism is administered by the authority of the church. The Holy Spirit baptizes believers into the body of Christ by the working of the Lord. The local church is the visible body, and Christ's body is invisible. God ordained or appointed that His church would be built by Christ, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. In the church, He set first apostles and prophets and teachers and various ones gifted with all these gifts. And Christ gave these gifted ones the ability to be co-laborers in building His church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God, for ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So Christ is the head of the church, the foundation of the church. He's building His church by working His Spirit through the life of believers, that we might be co-laborers together with Him to accomplish the work that He would have us to do. The Holy Spirit is an amazing thing, amazing person. The Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit dwells within us. And we're not to grieve Him by sin. We're not to quench Him by operating in a manner that we limit His working because of sins in our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to work through us to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And He never points to Himself. He always points the glory and the adoration unto the Son. And Jesus always points adoration to the Father. And we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's stand together, please, our heads bowed. Jacob, you come up.